Today is February 7th, and I am in the office of Dr. William Weiss here at Stanford University for the first of his Pew Scholars in the Biomedical Sciences interviews. So I usually start off with something really simple, like, when and where were you born?
Okay. I was born in New York City, in Queens, to be specific. So I grew up and then moved to the suburbs when I was about 13 or 14 to go to public schools there. Because the schools were deteriorating in New York City at the time. So I went to high school there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go into that in more depth before. Yeah. But before we do that, if you could tell me a little bit about your parents and maybe your grandparents, where they're from.
Okay, so, let's see, I guess I would be second generation. My grandparents immigrated from Russia, were Jewish, and my mother's side was from outside of Kiev, and my father's father was from Minsk, and my father's mother was from, I think, Lithuania. Don't remember. My parents grew up in New York City. And
so they were born in New York.
Yes, they were born here. And my maternal grandparents ran a deli, actually, on 34th Street and 9th Avenue. It's a food
That's
family.
A good location.
Oh, yeah. My mother grew up in Hell's Kitchen around there. Uh-huh. And then they moved to Brooklyn, and my father grew up in Brooklyn. And his father was a children's clothing manufacturer. My father... So my mother is actually went to college sort of as an adult education, but she has a high school degree and then went to college, studied art history a little bit, but doesn't have a degree past high school. My father is a sort of frustrated architect, but to support a family, he decided he was actually in the Merchant Marine during World War II, so he was a radio operator, and he got very familiar with electronics. So after the war, he went to electrical engineering school at Brooklyn Polytech, became an electrical engineer. Mm-hmm. That's what he did for he was a vacuum tube engineer, so he did that until transistors came in the late 60s, and he lost his job.
Oh, dear.
But he knew a lot about statistical analysis and process, so he got a job with the Bureau of the Budget in New York City, and that's where he finished his working days. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of the quantitative one in the family, right?
Okay.
And I have two older brothers who are one was a high school English teacher and is now a lawyer. Quit that profession and became a lawyer. He's actually a legal secretary, so he writes opinions for a judge in New York State. Mm-hmm. My other brother is he's been kind of bounced around. He basically is a bagel baker. He's really into food. He's a serious cook and wine collector, and he has a bagel store up in he was in New York, and now he's up in Providence, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually studied English and Italian in college, so I'm kind of the oddball.
Okay.
Right.
Oh. So the Merchant Marine was kind of an interesting.
Yeah, he didn't want to carry a gun.
Oh.
So when you were drafted and you really didn't want to, you know, carry a gun and shoot people, that was an option, you know, to work on one of the transport ships.
Uh-huh.
So that's why he did it.
Which wasn't so safe either.
That wasn't so safe either. A lot of them were sunk, yeah. But, you know, that's what he did. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how he sort of got into the whole thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
With your brothers, so there are three of you.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Okay,
you're
the youngest.
Yeah.
What were you like together as kids?
Well, we have a fairly, so the oldest and the middle one are separated by 3.5 years, and then I'm 5 years younger.
Oh.
So we're kind of spread out. So, I was just always the little annoying brother, you know. I got teased a lot, you know, but really by the time, and because in the 60s particularly, there was a lot of skipping of grades in elementary school. So my brother closest in age actually was 6 years ahead of me in school.
Oh.
So really by the time I was in junior high school, he was already in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of grew up, you know, once, you know, past elementary school, I was really like sort of like an only child in a sense, because both of them were already out of the house. But, you know, we got along. I mean, fine. I mean, it was, you know, I endured lots of teasing as any little brother would. Yeah. But, you know, we got along fine. And, you know, we still do. I'm not so close to my oldest brother just because there's a bigger age difference mm-hmm. and we're just very different. But, you know, I mean, we're, you know, we talk and the like. And then my other brother and I are much closer in many ways, just in terms of our outlook on life and the like. Mm-hmm. So, so we're in closer touch. But we're all kind of geographically really spread out, so it's hard. Mm-hmm. We don't see each other more than a few times a year.
Mm. Your parents still in New York?
They're in New York, yeah. Yeah. So I go in to the East Coast when I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was your mother stay at home?
She, no, she always worked, well, I think when I was very young, until about five, she did stay home with the kids, you know, when she was raising us. But once, by the time I was in elementary school, she had a part-time job, so she would be home by, you know, two or three whenever to make sure she'd be there when I got home. But she worked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she always did. She worked in a social work agency. She was a sort of administrator there in a volunteer social work agency in Long Island. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did that for about 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long career.
Yeah, yeah. She's retired. I mean, my both my parents are retired now, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. So, what are your first memories, excuse me, of school? Did you go to preschool?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I went to a nursery school, and I guess that's what it was called then.
They called them nursery
right. Yeah, and I have a vague... I have a big recollection of very large blocks. mm-hmm. That's about it. And then I went to an elementary school, which was literally across the street, PS-156, I still remember, in Southeast Queens. And, you know, I grew up across the street from the school, so, you know, I remember mm-hmm. it reasonably clearly. Mm-hmm. And then we, when I started junior high school, is when we went, that was when... it's around 1970, I guess, and the unfortunately the schools were kind of really deteriorating at that point. The school actually was a much bigger school than my elementary school. It fed from a lot of different neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and it became actually quite dangerous actually to go to school. I mean, it was really that bad. I was actually fearful of going to school, and I loved mm-hmm. school as a kid, as a little kid. Mm-hmm. So you know, I was actually literally, you know, ill from going, and my parents just said, we got to get out of here, and we, so that's why we moved.
Now, I take it your brothers went to that junior high.
Yes, that's right. It was them, but they were, again, they were quite a bit older.
Right.
They were, you know, six, you know, the next one was 6 years ahead, and it was a big difference.
Sure.
So, yeah, they did, and they were fine.
They were okay.
But, you know, by the time I went, which was, again, about 1970, things had really, mm-hmm. unfortunately, really deteriorated.
So that was around the time, if I remember correctly, because I was living in New York around that time, that the whole busing thing started a couple years before that.
Yeah, that wasn't really in effect. That didn't matter for me because, you know, again, for elementary school, I literally walked across the street.
Right.
And then to go to this school, just as my brothers did, you know, you got a bus pass and you would take the mm-hmm. the public city bus there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that big a deal. It was a couple of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I certainly wasn't affected by that. But the just the different neighborhoods that mm-hmm. fed the school, mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of them had kind of deteriorated. Mm-hmm. So it was really unfortunate because, you know, I don't think my parents ever really liked living there, but I certainly did. I had a lot of very close friends. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was funny. We had all dispersed, obviously, by high school, but when we all turned 30, one of them actually tracked us down, and we had a big reunion, and we were that close, you know, the whole neighborhood. You know, we had a reunion in a restaurant in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn.
but, how fun.
Yeah, it was actually pretty interesting. Yeah, everyone looked the same. They were just taller with respect to the tables, but it was kind of interesting. But, yeah, it was actually a very close-knit neighborhood, and it was just unfortunate what had happened. So then my parents, I have an uncle who lived in Great Neck in Long Island, which is where we moved to, because they had really good public schools. That was the main reason, and that's where I went to junior high school and high school.
Well, before we get to junior high and high school, you said you really liked school.
Yeah, yeah, I always liked going. And
you did?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you like about it?
I think I just liked learning. I mean, I was always, you know, I always would read and know all these little facts. Apparently, I would wake up in the morning, everyone else would still be asleep, and I'd start spouting off facts about, you know, history or science or something like that, and drive everyone nuts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I just always liked learning. Mm-hmm.
Did your parents think this was odd?
No, I think they really encouraged it. They thought it was great. Yeah. You know. Okay. Probably I talked too much, but otherwise.
Okay. And when you were in elementary, were there any parts of it that stood out to you, any teachers or any particular subjects?
I remember that, not subjects, I think there were some teachers I really liked, but there was no subject that particularly stood out. I think I just liked learning of all kinds.
You were into everything.
Yeah, I think so. I don't recall. I probably always had some predilection for math and science, but I don't think that was a particular standout versus other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that time. I really don't remember that, to be honest. Okay. Yeah.
And in those days when you were playing with all these friends and whatnot, what kinds of things did you guys play at?
Oh, it was mostly, a lot of sports, basketball.
Stickball.
Yeah, stickballs, mm-hmm. basketball, softball on the mm-hmm. the asphalt, handball. We did a lot of that kind of thing. Rubberball football mm-hmm. with the crosswalks is the end zones on our block.
Oh.
Yeah. That kind of thing. And, a lot of that, and just riding our bikes around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there were particularly intellectual pursuits or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you live in an apartment?
No, it was a house. This is southeastern Queens. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of little detached houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the scholars that I've interviewed when they were children, they played at either building things or dismantling things. Did you do anything?
I did, but not with my friends. So, I mean, actually, this was really my father mostly, because mm-hmm. I was the only one of the three of us who really grew up in a house, because we had moved from another part of Queens that was an apartment when I was born. Mm-hmm. Okay, so mm-hmm. I really grew up in this house, and I was the only one of us. And I would help my father around the house, and he actually built me a workbench, and I would actually help do things. So that's when I really started doing things with my hands, and I really became, interested in that kind of thing. So that's certainly where that aspect of sort of doing experimental things came from. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely working with my father and helping him around the house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your brothers didn't get the
No, definitely
that.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you mentioned that when you were in junior high, which is usually around 11 or 12.
Yeah, something 12, like that.
So,
yeah,
I think junior high then was like
probably
7th
11.
To 9th, or was
now actually
it's 6th. Like
6th. It was 6th,
it
I
was
think,
6th.
At that time, yeah. That's right,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were probably about 11.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So they moved to Great Neck.
Yeah.
And what was that transition like for you? Because you did have to leave your friends.
Yeah, so that was the upside is that the school was great, I made new friends there. Although it was a little lonely at first, as of course, when you don't know anyone and everyone had come up through elementary school there together. But I made some friends that were, it was great. And then, but the school was just really good, and there were some really good teachers . I got put in, an honors math class and things that I really liked, and so it was very good from sort of the learning point of view. Particularly, I remember the math and some of the science teachers were very good,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was around that time where I really started getting into, math and science. There was one thing though, even before that I think I remember reading this anatomy book cover to cover. I think my oldest brother had taken some sort of freshman when he was living at home for his first year of college, had taken some sort of biology or an anatomy course, and I read this book cover to cover, and I just knew everything about the human body when I was about in sixth grade or something. And so I'd really gotten into it. I think that was kind of my first really real interest in biology.
Uh-huh.
And I just you know, learned it, and I knew that I was really interested in it, so I really got into the sort of biology and the mm-hmm. like when I went to junior high school, and I had a wonderful, I remember this wonderful, I guess a seventh grade science teacher when we studied mm-hmm. Biology and particularly human, anatomy and the like, and I sort of, I kind of knew it all already in a funny way. I think I drove him crazy, but
really.
the class crazy, but I remember that class very distinctly because of that mm-hmm. and that interest. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, I always really like biology, but I really like quantitative stuff like math, and so I got exposed. I don't remember how this happened, but I remember I got really interested in biochemistry.
In junior high, yeah.
Oh, wow. And what happened was that this school was very kind of progressive, and they had a lot of different options for the science classes you could take, or physical sciences, earth science, whatever. And there was one that was basically biology and chemistry, so I took that, and I just totally fell in love with this interface of biology and chemistry. And I think really, I really can date it back to that.
Really?
That time when I really wanted to do this, mm. which is kind of scary, it's so early, but I really remember that very distinctly. Mm. And there was this fantastic teacher named Miss Randy, I remember her name. and that was sort of my first real exposure to it, and I just kind of got hooked.
That's pretty impressive at the junior high level.
I don't ultimately really understand where it came from, but it just sort of clicked. Mm. Mm. And I think it was partly this interest in biology and then, really liking the more physical sciences as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing now. And it really hasn't changed.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in junior high, the kids who were really, way ahead in math and science were sort of, they didn't use the word geeky in
yeah,
those ner- days.
Nerds are,
I think
know.
It was nerdy, yeah. Was that a problem at your school, or were the smart kids accepted?
Well, it's all very cliquey, I think, so, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't, I'm sure there were one or two incidents with, bullies or the like, but basically, there were enough kids, this is a relatively wealthy community mm-hmm. with parents who wanted their kids to succeed, and there was sort of this honors. What happens, I think, in those schools, at least my experience, is that there is a core of these kind of nerdy students who do well, who get put into these honors classes, and it becomes kind of a separate little clique. Basically, those are your friends mm-hmm. by and large, and those wound up being the mm-hmm. people I socialized with mm-hmm. and otherwise. So it wasn't really a problem mm-hmm. in that sense. I didn't feel isolated or anything like that. I could imagine a situation where you don't have that kind of honors type classes, and mm-hmm. I think that's where I can imagine having more friction in a classroom. But they just did it this way, and it was it's at one level elitist, but on the other hand, it does mm-hmm. solve that problem, I guess. So, mm-hmm. So.
And what kind of extracurricular things were you doing in those days?
Nothing. I was never into kind of the organized stuff after school in junior high school. I would just go home and sort of ride my bike and play basketball with friends and study. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really didn't do that much in junior high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, a lot of after-school basketball. I remember that.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, right, and just studying. I mean, that was kind of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So then what about high school?
Well, what happened was we moved again to another part of town, so I switched. It was a north and south in Great Neck. And I was a south junior, and then I went to north senior because
so
we moved.
Had to start over again.
Yeah. So that was a bit painful, but I made friends there again. And and by that time, I was, I knew I was really kind of into the science and math stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was taking two science courses a year, actually, which they thought I took biology and an honors chemistry course, and then the next year, I 11th grade, I was already, I took the college level, advanced placement biology and physics, and then I just kept doing. So I took all these science courses, and I was really into them, mm-hmm. and, in advanced math. So I was very happy from that point of view, and I had friends, and then spent most of, I must admit, most of my extracurricular activities at that time were with my girlfriend, my high school girlfriend. That was a major extracurricular activity for most of high school.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah, you know, nothing out of the out of, you know. So then it was her and studying, you know. And that was kind of it. I didn't really participate in much extracurricular organized stuff. This is truly geeky. I was on the math team.
Math team.
Yeah, they had these sort of competitive math. What did they call it? Like mathletes or something?
Decathlon
like.
Or something.
Yeah, you know, it was basically once a month, all the geeks from the different schools, I guess, would get together, and it was actually an organized thing though. And then they would have timed problems. You'd have 4 minutes to solve this problem. They give you a problem, and you'd have to work it out. And I wasn't a star by any means. I mean, I'm not actually that quick in math or anything, but I just did it because my friends were doing it. And we actually had a very good team because we had this absolutely brilliant guy who actually became was a Westinghouse and a math. He was representative of the U.S. on a math Olympiad, so sort of got sucked into it from that. That was kind of my only sort of organized extracurricular thing, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were getting ready to graduate from high school, you have to start thinking about what you're going to do next.
Yeah.
Did you have a clear idea of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think by that time I it wasn't out of the question I would do something non-science. I mean, like literature and the like, but you know, I knew deep down in my heart I was going to wind up doing science, I pretty much knew I wanted to do something sort of a biology, physics, chemistry type interface thing even then. Mm-hmm. So I definitely applied to places looking for that, you know, places that had a good undergraduate biochemistry. But I also knew I wanted just a straight liberal arts education, so I you know, I remember I interviewed at MIT and absolutely hated it. I mean, just the idea of being in a place with no humanities was really oppressive. Mm-hmm. But I knew ultimately I was going to do that, and so I did look for it when I was applying.
Backing up for just a second, were there any special mentors along the way in high school that you recall, or anybody that influenced you particularly?
Well, I did have a pretty strong, you know, surprisingly focused interest in this area. Mm-hmm. But certainly I remember one of my advanced placement biology teacher, Mrs. Harrington, who was a wonderful woman, wonderful teacher, and she, I was this oddball junior taking this course that was all seniors, and I was, I just sort of was way ahead of the class, basically, kind of. So she really kind of took me under her wing and advised me. And it turns out her son was Bill Harrington, who is a well-known muscle physiologist at Johns Hopkins, who died actually a few years back. But he said, you remind me a lot. She would say, you remind me a lot of my son.
Oh, really?
and she, we would talk a lot about these kinds of interests. And so when it was time to, apply to school, she encouraged me certain ways, but I remember talking to her a lot about it. And I had a really good chemistry teacher as well, my advanced placement chemistry teacher, who's Mr. Torrey, who's the chairman of the department there, the science department, and he was very encouraging as well. That was actually an interesting thing because we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, it was a real stretch for my parents to move to the burbs. And my oldest brother had gone to SUNY's, state schools, and then my other brother went to Cornell, but on a full scholarship, because my father was unemployed at the time. So when it came to me, my father was working, and we really couldn't afford kind of an Ivy League school. And I actually didn't know much about them, to be honest, because I really just had my brothers, but among my peers, the best students would go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, sort of the elite Ivy League schools. And, partly out of peer pressure, I just sort of, at least I got hold of the catalogs and I could say, these places really have researched the kind of things I want to do. So I applied to them as well as state schools, thinking, I can't really afford this. And so when I ultimately went to Princeton, I was accepted there, and it was a really, really tough decision for my parents because we really couldn't afford it, and it was a real stretch and sacrifice for them. And, you know, I worked, of course, in college, and we kind of really had to pull out the stops, but my mother was sort of felt I really should do it, and my teachers, particularly this guy, Mr. Torrey, said, no, you really should do it. It's just going to open doors. My father was much more, well, you know, I think state schools are fine. And, mm-hmm. and I didn't really know myself, you know, mm-hmm. I really, but in the end, my mother kind of won out, and mm-hmm. and it was really a good decision because, I mean, I think the exposure I got to sort of a broader student base and international students that I wouldn't have gotten in a state school. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was a true research university, and I really got exposed, and I was able to do undergrad research at a mm-hmm. level probably not available at a place like SUNY Binghamton at the time, was really important. So I think the high school teachers who sort of pushed me in that direction were actually quite important in terms of the sort of educational choices. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, my parents certainly felt after a year there it was absolutely the right decision. They were very happy about it mm-hmm. in the end. But I remember that was kind of a really agonizing mm-hmm. decision because of the financial sure. aspect of it at the time. Yeah.
Well, you know, nowadays people take out zillions of dollars worth of loans.
Sure, that's what I did. Yeah.
That's what you did.
Sure. Yeah. Although even with that, the you know the way they would compute formulas of for doing this were for sort of a middle class family were not mm-hmm. all that favorable for you know considering my father hadn't. You know, he had only been sort of 5 years out of unemployment, and it was mm-hmm. tricky. You know, I mean, you know, they didn't have any savings or anything like that, mm-hmm. and you know, they expected that. You know, we did, and you know, that made it kind of difficult. But we did manage, mm-hmm. obviously. you know, yeah. Yeah, did it. So, you know, that was important.
Have you paid them off by now?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I paid them off. Actually, yeah. I mean, the ironic thing, of course, is that with the inflation, it hit. I got out of college right before that hyperinflation. Okay. Yeah, I graduated in 81, and it was already, that was during the late 70s inflation, but yeah. It was after that when inflation dropped in the 80s, but the costs still kept escalating 10-15% a year.
Right.
So I got out right before the crunch, so even by the time I left, it was like $10,000 a year. And so my total loan debt was less than
$8,000, oh,
which you know I was able to pay off during sometime right after I moved out here, I was able to pay it all off. So, so in retrospect, it seemed awful at the time, but of course, yeah, it didn't kill me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you ended up going to Princeton,
right?
And you lived there?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a residential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that like going off to be on your own?
Oh, I loved it. When I was a kid, we would go to summer camp. I went to summer camp for 5 years, and I always loved it. And you know, I never had sort of the separation problems
right.
with my parents or anything. I mean, I love my parents, but it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
And I just loved being in college. It mm-hmm. was sort of the work. It was sort of at the level I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. you know, intellectually. Educationally, it was a great place. I absolutely hated it, though. Socially, I really found it absolutely horrible place. It was, you know, I felt it's very kind of waspy, elitist, and basically most people wind up being investment bankers on Wall Street, and there was this whole preppy culture there in the late 70s, mm-hmm. really conservative, and I really hated that aspect of it. But fortunately, there were enough other people who felt that way there that it was kind of the same thing. That becomes your social
right.
group. And so, in fact, all my best lifelong friends are from college. You know?
Uh-huh.
In fact, there was a group of us that all lived together in one dorm freshman year, and most of my friends from college are from that group.
Mm.
We really became very close, and we had similar feelings about the place, and so it was great. So, you know, on balance, it was a great experience, because educationally it was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually kind of a funny thing to go there, because I didn't know anything about it. It was one of these things that there were people from my school who went there,
mm-hmm.
and I actually wanted to go to Harvard or Yale simply because they had stronger biochemistry departments. It was really, you know, I knew that, you know, I really wanted to go to a place. Princeton didn't have such a strong place, but I wasn't accepted to them.
Oh.
And then my It was that or I think Williams College was my other choice. And my best friend went to Williams, and so there was some. But I realized I needed to be in a research university and not a liberal arts college to get the kind of research science type environment. So I went there not really knowing a lot, except that it had a fantastic physics department, you know, which was certainly an attraction. And, of course, I went there and very quickly learned that I'm not cut out for doing physics. I'm not that smart. So that was kind of an eye-opener dealing with that. So the first semester was a little rocky with the level of math and physics. But after that, it was fine. And, I think getting used to that level of work I think everyone goes through that, or many people go through that adjustment.
Sure.
On balance, I had a great time there, not a great time. I mean, as I said, it was a very schizophrenic thing. I in retrospect, I really do appreciate how good the education was. And in fact, I think Harvard, having been a graduate student at Harvard and seeing the undergraduate education, I was much better off at that time at Princeton because I needed the kind of nurturing that, Harvard takes these kind of preformed people, very independent, and I wasn't like that. And I think the sort of more undergraduate-oriented, friendly environment at Princeton was actually turned out, in retrospect, through complete sheer luck, to be a far better choice for me educationally. So I really did appreciate the experience from that point of view. But I really dislike the social environment of the place intensely. So
we'll come back to that in a second. But you said you didn't get into Harvard or Yale.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds like you were a great high school student. What?
Yeah, but there are lots of great high school students, and I wasn't, the absolute top, I guess. I also certainly wasn't well rounded in the sense I didn't have the kind of extracurricular type things, and I was obviously very, very strong in math and science, and I was a good student in all the other subjects, but at some level I didn't care about them.
Yeah,
as much. So I think I'm sure that all that came through in interviews and stuff, and mostly I think it just that I really didn't, hang around with your girlfriend's probably not something you write down on an extracurricular activity section up here.
Yeah, no, that doesn't
probably
apply.
Not. Yeah, it probably doesn't apply. So I think it was a combination of all those things. Yeah.
So at Princeton, then, going back to Princeton, how was your social life in terms of dating?
Oh, it was pretty abysmal. I think that was one of the things I really didn't like about it, because it was at that time it was very it was probably only 35% women, and just the whole culture of the place. This whole preppy culture I really didn't like. Yeah, I went out with a few people, but it was complicated for me actually, because I was actually still going out with my high school girlfriend for about the first year and a half or 2 years of that, and then we broke up, and that was kind of a total disaster for me, my grades really suffered, and I was really depressed for a good semester. So the whole first 2 years was sort of that scene, and it was kind of a mess. And then and then after that, I was just kind of at some level not really ready for it again. Mm. So yeah, I mean, that certainly didn't contribute to my feelings about the place either. Mm. But that's life.
Yeah. Okay. And were you involved in any extracurriculars there, like sports or fraternity?
I wasn't, because I worked. I mean, my free time was spent, having to work to make sure I could pay for the place. Mm-hmm. So I had, in my first 2 years, I just had kind of typical student, I worked in the rare books collection in the library, which is actually fun.
Yeah.
That was actually much better than slinging hash in a cafeteria.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, actually. And so I did that for 2 years, and then I got a job in a lab, and then I got a work-study job.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of my first real lab exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That was my free time, because I had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. How was the experience of having to work? Because a lot of people got a kind of a free ride.
Sure.
Do you think that was useful, or did it take away from your study time?
I think it's taking away from your study time, no, because I think if I wasn't doing that, I probably would have done something, some other extracurricular type, thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it definitely took away from, you know, some social time, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a little annoying to see a lot of these rich Manhattanites, mm-hmm. you know, being able to do whatever, you know, not having to work. But I don't think it's a bad thing for people to have to do. I mean, look, a lot of people do that to support themselves through college. Yeah. I didn't, you know, fundamentally object to it. Ultimately, it was fine because I got to work in a lab, mm-hmm. you know, and got that work experience. So, no, in the end, I didn't really. I think it's probably not a bad thing for anyone to go through as part of it. You know, it gives you a little balance perspective. So.
Okay. And you majored in biochemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, physics was the real choice ultimately was it was either going to be chemistry or biochemistry, and I, effectively, I really was a chemistry major, physical chemistry major, and I did all my electives in that, and I took graduate courses, in fact, mm-hmm. in physical chemistry, because I love quantum mechanics and the like. But what happened at Princeton is that you have to do a senior thesis and an independent research set of research, and the major winds up, you can take classes in anything, but the major really defines what you're going to do your research in. And I, even though the biochemistry department there at the time wasn't that strong, I realized that I really wanted to mm-hmm. do independent work in that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose that major. Mm. So, but yeah, it was fine.
So what was your thesis?
It was on rhodopsin spectroscopy. I basically purified rhodopsin from cow eyeballs, you know, took out retinas in the dark, purified rhodopsin, did laser absorption spectroscopy to basically we're characterizing. What happens is that rhodopsin, which is the pigment in the eye that is the primary light sensor, undergoes a series of transitions when it senses light, and we were looking at a transition on a millisecond time scale to try to characterize this transition thermodynamically. And so that was basically the standard kind of, you know, characterize the transition, how much of the two species do you get as a function of time, mm-hmm. pH dependence, sort of very typical type of, you know, temperature dependence. Mm-hmm. Very basic physical biochemistry.
Mm-hmm. Was this your first real
experiment? Yeah, in the lab. I mean, I worked in this other lab for a little bit, which didn't, I didn't really do that much in it in the end. My first job where I just had a job in this other lab. But this was really my first, serious research effort.
Did you like it?
I liked it, although it was funny. I was very... this is something you see in a lot of kind of... You learn a lot about yourself, that I was much more of one of the book-smart people than a street-smart person at the time. And I was a little bit timid. I was afraid of making mistakes a lot, okay? And I think that's a bad thing. You know, you just have to go in and make mistakes and do things. And I always wanted to do things right on the first shot. And I think that made me very timid about doing things in the lab, and I'd get really upset if things went wrong. And it took me a while to learn that that's just part of it. And this is actually a phenotype I see in a lot of students now that I'm on the other side of things. Which is great because I can actually sympathize with them, and I know that they're not lost causes.
Right.
So it was a very, in some ways, traumatic experience doing that. But but I learned a lot and doing it, and it was a great experience. My advisor was wonderful, that. Although maybe, it's funny, in many ways, I wound up doing a lot of computer modeling along with it because you sort of had to computer model the data. Mm-hmm. And that, so I wound up spending a lot of time doing that and maybe not as much bench stuff as I should have. But my advisor was very supportive, and maybe too much so, in the sense that I experienced some of the same problems in graduate school, for a while. Mm-hmm. This somewhat timid approach to doing experimental things, which I certainly overcame eventually, but it did help. I'd say it did hold me back a little bit at first. So yeah, it was a very interesting experience in that point of view. But I love the project, and as I said, my advisor was wonderful, and so it was a very good experience. Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of thing, as again, at a place like Princeton, where people are forced to take undergrads in their lab because all the undergraduates have to do a thesis. It was sort of the sort of thing where I was very lucky to being able to get that kind of lab experience.
Sure.
So,
What about the writing of the thesis? You know, writing is...
Yeah. I've always liked writing, actually. Yeah. I can be slow at it sometimes, but I'm actually pretty quick, by and large. I feel I write fairly well and clearly, and I always enjoyed writing in college, like in my literature courses and the like. I always enjoyed doing papers in philosophy courses. So I've always liked it. It's never been, that's something I know a lot of people really hate, that part of doing science, but I think, you know, communication's part and parcel of what we do, and that's something I really spend a lot of time with people in my lab on, and I drive them nuts, but I feel it's really important. Mm-hmm. And so, even at that time, that was not a problem. Except I had to type it all out in a manual typewriter. So that was a bummer.
it's amazing. You couldn't even conceive of that.
Right. I was really fast on those keys.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember doing that in college, too.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And God help you if you made a mistake at the bottom of the page.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Actually, I thought of something as you were talking about the research that you did in college, and that is that a lot of kids nowadays get exposed to this kind of thing even earlier through doing science fairs and things.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any of that?
No, that wasn't... You know, I really don't recall even science fairs being available. I mean, they probably were, but I don't even recall that being an active thing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't there. I may just be forgetting, but I certainly didn't do it if it was there, except for things like the Westinghouse, and I actually did I talked to my biology teacher a little bit about it, but there was nothing that ultimately... the ideas I had just were well beyond the resources of the school. The ideas I had, so it just wasn't feasible to do that. And so, no, it really wasn't. And I don't recall there being, or maybe I just didn't look hard enough and they weren't publicized, the kind of undergraduate or high school research opportunities in colleges that exist now. Mm-hmm. I don't really recall that being available. It was probably available on a more personal contact basis then.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's actually, my sense is that it's reasonably well organized. I know Cold Spring Harbor has a program for high school students to do summers there, and I don't recall anything like that existing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it did, but also it was I had to work. I mean, I didn't have the money to just go off and do that kind of thing, So it was also that kind of thing. I had a job in high school, and there just wasn't time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I spent weekends working in high school, and I had a job in a hospital. It wasn't glamorous. It was just in central supply, sterilizing equipment, and getting orders up to the nurses and stuff like that. So it was a great job, paid a lot of money. So because of this interest in anatomy, I actually had always thought, well, maybe medicine is something I would do. And in fact, I got. I'd say junior year of college, in fact, I actually went as far as to take the MCATs thinking I might do an MD, PhD, but by the time it came around to taking them, and I did take them, but by the time it came around, I realized this is really stupid. I have no desire to be a doctor. In fact, it's actually something I didn't say before, but I mean, the job in high school did do one thing for me, which is that I realized I didn't want to be a doctor because that patient interaction, which is so key to being a doctor, I didn't mind it, but it just didn't grab me the way it really needs to be a doctor. And also, I really disliked the doctors I ran into, the arrogance and the culture of it, and I really hated that, this kind of hierarchical, MD culture. And so I kind of realized that wasn't for me, that whole life wasn't for me at that time, so...
So that was in high school?
That was actually, because that was my high school job. My last year's of high school, I worked in this hospital.
But you apparently hadn't ruled it out completely.
I hadn't ruled it out completely, because I knew intellectually I had this interest in, in biology, and it didn't seem unreasonable. But Also, I just, at some level, just got very cynical about the whole profession. And, and I saw a lot of people doing MD, PhDs because they wanted, you know, the letters next to their names. And, and intellectually, it just made no sense for them to be doing it. And I just kind of really got turned off by the whole idea. And I just, for what I wanted to do, it just made no sense.
Right.
It really came down to that. So.
Well, let me turn the tape over.